There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome into the program. Happy New Year from Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard. Yes, we are live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino, and on tap for the next 3 hours. Guests that we have on today's program, Michael Lombardi will join us in an hour from right now. Longtime former NFL executive, current VSiN host, his takeaways from Week 17, who he likes in tonight's huge Monday night game. And we'll talk about that game a little bit later on with Steve Tasker as well, former Buffalo Bills wide receiver and special teams ace, played in the league for a long, long time. And again, so much on the line, Pauly. I think we could do like, well, first of all, 3 hours probably not enough here on a Monday morning, as it never is. But we could do all 3 hours on the playoff games in college football today. We could do all 3 hours probably on what happened yesterday in the NFL, or just looking at the week 18 numbers in the league and how they have changed.
Yeah.
And oh my God, and the movement that we have. So we'll get to all that today. And, you know, we will begin in both conferences in the one seed and how tight this is now at the top and the scenarios that could happen. I guess the best news for Philadelphia yesterday is that the Giants won the game and they locked up their playoff spot, right? Because otherwise, I think we'd probably have a little bit more drama for the one seed in the NFC, but it still exists. Like, if the Eagles lose, the Niners can still grab the one. Or, my God, the Cowboys can still come over the top and move from the five seed to the one if it breaks their way.
You believe that? You're looking at the five seed and can't wait to talk to Lombardi in an hour? But you have to get Hurts in there somehow, some way. Because even if you win the game, and it's a 13-point move now, you're right, they got the good news. I can't imagine why the Giants would play anybody. If you play Minshew and you win that game, Hurts is 5-6 weeks off. You won't play till the 21st of January.
Yep.
So you got to get him some time in there. And they couldn't get a first down for much of the first half. And then by the time they rallied, it was too late. And then the horrendous pick six. And the Saints get the win. But you're right, with all these scenarios and the big overtime win with the Niners, looks like the Niners are going to get the two seed.
Mm-hmm.
Philly should win. But we know this, right? The Giants are locked in. That's it. The Giants can't improve their seat, but
everything else is still pretty much up for grabs
in the rest of the league. Yeah.
Right, and the way that I would look at this if I'm Brian Daboll is I will give my guys a week rest, right? I'll give them all a week off. They deserve it at this point. That's exactly what we need. We're probably going to take on the Vikings, which, by the way, the Giants can absolutely go to Minnesota and win. I think that point spread would be no more than 3. Absolute. They played just a couple of weeks back. We saw what happened there. And the Vikings were very fortunate to win that game. But that was, you know, and they were fortunate to get a really dead team in the Colts yesterday. Right? And again, the news that I saw come across, like, social media, yeah, Jeff Saturday is going to be considered next year. He will be. Irsay's going to take that in consideration.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, my God.
Yeah, sure.
But
what a train wreck.
Just think about that, though. If you had total chaos this week, And how big would that be for the Cowboys? Because look at how Tommy finally looked yesterday with Mike Evans. You're telling me the Cowboys are a shoo-in to go to Tampa and win a playoff game?
Well, not a shoo-in. I would like them in that game, but certainly that's a fascinating matchup. But it speaks to how bad they are defensively, right? Well, how bad Dallas has been.
Oh, yeah.
But that's a hell of a matchup, too. But I would give the Giants the week off. Can't improve your seed. You have to like the matchup taken on Minnesota. San Francisco should destroy Arizona and at least get the two. And then you got Green Bay lurking.
Right.
There you go. And who's going to get? And that's unfortunate what happened, that I wanted Lions-Packers to be a win-and-go-home game. But Seattle should beat the Rams. And then if Seattle wins, the Lions are eliminated. So
right.
That's tough.
And here's the thing, too. And I think we're going to find out more about the schedule for Week 18. What is it later on today? Who knows? I
mean, what is this?
They're being very tight with this information, yeah.
Like the briefcase in Pulp Fiction. I mean, come on, guys. We didn't get the Saturday games until midnight hour time.
Yeah, that's right.
That they flexed that.
Right. That came in while everybody was sleeping. We'll tell you about those games coming up here in a little bit. But you cannot, here's the deal, right? And this is a great observation for people who were kicking this around yesterday. You cannot make Packers-Lions the Sunday night game if it's meaningless for Detroit, which it could be by the time they play. You must do this for the integrity of the league.
But they're going to do it.
I know they are.
I know.
They're going to make a grave mistake here.
Yep.
That's slightly overboard, but you know what I'm saying? Okay, because if you have to play the Lions and the Seahawks in the same exact window, got to do it.
Uh-huh.
It's got to be late, and I don't think they will. Because they know that Packers public team playing Sunday night will be have tons of eyeballs on it across the country.
Yeah, well, I think whatever you put in there is going to do well. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to putting Cincinnati, Baltimore in that spot, even though both teams are in. But you're right. That kills Detroit, knowing they could take the field eliminated.
Yeah, that stinks.
Right, and a lot of people thought for sure it would be the Tennessee game because the winners wins the division.
Right.
But
are you okay with that?
I was pleasantly surprised by that, yes.
Yeah.
Well, they're looking at it like it's kind of a dog matchup because Tennessee's playing a guy off the street they just signed in Dobbs. They've lost, five games in a row, six games in a row, and it's still a bad division even though Jacksonville's hot. So it's not the sexy game that it appears to be.
You were off the show on Friday. Based on what we watched on Thursday night with Dobbs, though, don't you give the Titans a better chance with him than Malik Willis?
Yeah, it's got to be Dobbs.
It has to be.
Yes.
Who are we kidding here?
Oh, come on.
It's a no-brainer.
Plus, he gets the added boost to getting Henry in the lineup.
Exactly right.
So you at least have to expect the respect the run. So,
And by the way, based on our conversation right now, don't you kind of need to bet the Packers right now under that scenario?
I like them.
And there's you can't make a case for the Lions at this point because just sit back and let you got two things going for you if you want to bet the Lions. Let the public bet Green Bay the entire week and push a number up as far as possible, okay? And then the Seattle game obviously comes into play at that point, and it's going to be on the Sunday night spot too if they put it there. So then you're going to be able to grab a much better number. So betting Green Bay right now, and if you want to come back and bet Detroit later on, you'll get maybe seven or whatever.
Well, I like Green Bay even if Detroit has to win the game, but what that number is. So it's Goff in the elements, and he was great yesterday, and they played well, but too little too late for the Lions. It's unfortunate. But the way the Packers are playing and the special teams and the defense, what a job on Jefferson. And what a job they did shutting down the Minnesota offense. So I think Green Bay will win and cover and they'll sneak in there. And then, good luck against the 49ers.
Yeah,
I'll say.
I would say the defense can maybe turn Purdy over a couple of times because he does make a couple of errors every single game. But also, if Shanahan wanted to, it could just be run the ball right down their throats the entire time. That's how you approach the Packers' defense. The secondary is pretty good, and I have to tip my cap to Jair Alexander. I mean, we made fun of him last week on Friday. He sounded like a complete clown when he said that Jefferson was a fluke, and boy, oh boy, he talked the talk, and he did he ever walk the walk in that game? Jefferson, that's going to cost me a fantasy championship.
Oh, really?
Jefferson did nothing.
God. I did not see that coming, right? And they were just terrible from the get-go. The two touchdowns were in garbage time, and then off the block punt that set up the field goal.
Right.
Total domination by Minnesota. And why no one thinks they're going to do anything in the playoffs.
Oh, they have a negative point differential.
That's all you need to know. Outscored as well.
12-4.
Yep.
Okay, so then in the AFC, and to refresh people's memories here, you're holding a very nice ticket on the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. It's at, what does it pay, like $30,000
plus? $38,000.
Pays $38,000. Okay. So that was squeaky bum time yesterday.
Yes, it was. And I'm very concerned. because they make stupid mistakes.
They do.
On the dumb penalties. They're good for a silly turnover every game.
They're the Golden State Warriors.
Yep. They had they fumbled a punt, boneheaded penalties, and I don't trust the defense. But Mahomes covers up a lot of things that stink.
Yeah.
And he even threw a red zone interception,
man,
which surprised me. But, you know, you get a big effort out of Denver. Wilson hung in there and played well. I know they got the big stop late with the defense on the fourth down play, but you fire Hackett and they got a shot in the arm. But certainly, and that is an enormous game now Saturday. I mean, that's I'm surprised they did that too, because how important is this game tonight? Oh my God!
Oh, it's gigantic.
I know, but that's Kansas City could be playing for the one seed on Saturday. So there's a lot of things they have to clean up.
Well,
and you have to respect Andy Reid and Mahomes, but this thing is wide open.
I would also say the best news for KC yesterday was the fact that the Raiders lost the game. Because if the Raiders had somehow, I mean, that was an awesome game against the 49ers. If they won that game in overtime, the Raiders are still kicking, right, to go into the playoffs. They would actually have a slim chance to get in. But also, I don't think the Raiders are going to pack it in this week either. I don't think big deal. I mean, we saw Stidham look great yesterday.
Oh, 10 is outrageous.
10's a very high number.
That right. Carr never threw for 311 this year.
No, he did not.
Great. Yeah.
And keep in mind, the Raiders get destroyed by Travis Kelce every time they play. We'll run that down later on in the week. But they've played the Chiefs well over the years. No, that was with Derek Carr, but Stidham looked fantastic yesterday against the best defense in football, by the way.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe what I was watching. I good for him.
You killed Carr's trade value in the process.
Yeah.
Right. And Adam certainly ate and had a big game as well. But it's going to be enormous to get the one seed, though. But this is a lot on the line tonight determines what could happen. But there's a lot of things they have to fix. The kicking issues, do it.
That's another one.
You missed an extra point. He wasn't even close on the field goal. Too many mistakes. Very frustrating to watch.
Yeah, that was a tough one yesterday to really have your eyeballs on. No doubt about that. But any scenario is alive tonight. Bengals win.
That's right.
They can still get the one. Bills win. They're in the driver's seat for the one.
I can't imagine all the scenarios here just with Cincinnati with only two games left.
Yeah.
Get the one, get the two, get the three. Could blow the division still.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, this is all in play here.
It's incredible. Winter sports in full swing, and BetRivers Online Sportsbook is your home for all the latest lines, odds, and boosts. Whether you're a football, hockey, or basketball fan, BetRivers has you covered. Join them every week for new promotions like their Tuesday Hockey First Goal Insurance, Sunday Football Parlay Insurance, and more. BetRivers, where it's a whole new game. We will get into the huge clash tonight in Monday Night Football as the Bills are in Cincinnati to take on the Bengals, two of the best teams in the AFC, two of the best teams in the entire league. We'll run it down. We'll get into some player props. And we'll tell you that the Bengals are one of the better teams in the league at home. How do the Bills fare on the road? We'll run down all the numbers for you coming up here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation? And a whole lot more. You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled Kalshi, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Winter sports in full swing. Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook, your home, all the latest lines, odds, and boosts. Whether it's football, hockey, or basketball, they have you covered. Great promotions and house specials. Tuesday hockey first goal insurance. Sunday football parlay insurance at Bet Rivers. It's a whole new game.
Saturday is exhibit A of how good a 12-team playoff could eventually be in college football. Yes, we're still going to get blowouts, but when you have 8s versus 9s, 5 versus 12s, and side note, more games to be played, you're eventually going to get games like we had on Saturday. That was the best Final Four. Now, I said this on with Brent Musburger yesterday. I'll throw college basketball in there. Basketball or football, that was the best Final Four I've ever watched.
Wow.
Because the Final Four in college basketball rarely delivers.
Yeah.
Both,
yeah.
You might have one good game, never both good games.
Mm-hmm.
That was total chaos on Saturday. And I don't know if the right team won either game. I thought definitely Ohio State should have defeated Georgia. No doubt they should have won that game.
The Harrison injury was huge.
Gigantic.
And one of the biggest timeouts you're ever going to see by Kirby.
Great job by Kirby Smart.
Yep. The fake punt's going to work. They are set up.
Yep.
I don't think they're going to be able to come back, and Ohio State couldn't get the big stop, and a phenomenal game, but you have to put them away, and you have to win that. You can't blow that if you're Ohio State. And Michigan, they can blame themselves for the turnovers and the red zone issues.
Absolutely.
But great job by Dykes. I mean, who saw this coming, right? How do you feel? Can you believe this? Think about it. You were in the national championship game in a week, and you're sitting there with a 200 or 250-to-1 ticket, and you could, what do you do from it? Georgia's a $5 favorite on a money line.
Right.
From a hedging standpoint, my God, to be a 13.5-point dog, you're in a power conference, you beat Michigan, you're in the national title, 250-to-1, and you're a huge underdog.
Yeah, look at this tweet from David Purdom, ESPN. A couple of the 67 teams that had more money to win the title than TCU at DraftKings, look at that list. Liberty had more money. Northwestern, Southern Miss, Texas San Antonio on the list.
Yeah.
Colorado is the worst Power 5 team in years, potentially.
Yes.
The Frogs are 250-to-1 at DK. Our producer, Dustin's holding 80-to-1.
Yeah.
What does he do? You can't, I mean, you just have to wait for in play.
Well, but if it's 7-0 Georgia, that's it, though.
No, it's over with.
I mean, you can't, there's nothing you can do.
No, I know. So you could bet, you know, exactas were the way to go, but this is looking back in hindsight.
Yeah.
You could have gotten down on Georgia over TCU exactas before the game started on Saturday. Right? And, you know, as that game was unfolding, and Michigan totally, I mean, they shot themselves in the foot 100 times, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when that game was unfolding like that, I'm like, and I only bet Michigan to win the game when they were down big. I took a shot. That's the only bet that I really had on the game. And I also had the under, which was totally toast.
However, you weren't the only one. Four-point move.
That's right.
60 down to 56.
So when I'm realizing that ticket's dead, the total, I'm like, you know what? The TCU, I don't care what anybody says. Look at the schedule they played and compare it to who Michigan played in the Big Ten. The Big 12 was awesome this year. And yes, they're kind of like the Vikings where they survived every single week. And hey, there's another one-score win or how'd they pull that one out of their hat, right? But the Big 12 was much better than the competition that Michigan played in the Big Ten. I mean, yes, they beat Ohio State on the road. Very good win. Other than that, like, who is really good that sticks out from the Big Ten this year? Not a lot of teams, but the Big 12, like, the Big 12 this year was the true, like, weekly grind, in my opinion. And this TCU squad, watching the game again, they have playmakers all over the place on both sides of the ball.
Yes, they do. And I'm glad Sonny Dykes pointed that out meeting with the media before the game about, we're not playing Citadel in November. We drew Texas. While the SEC's playing Citadel.
That's right.
And how that worked out. So, incredible coaching job. I mean, I never would to think that he would be able to do this to come in. And Patterson was a legend. There's a statue of the guy.
That's right.
And they told him, get out. We've seen enough. And they bring in Dykes from SMU and to be, you know, 60 minutes away from doing this and shocking the world. But they should be playing Ohio State. But, you know, between the injuries and the field goal and – You couldn't get a stop. Fantastic game, but I cannot believe Ohio State made Georgia's defense look like that.
I would agree.
To get what they wanted and go march up and down the field for the entirety of the game.
More on that game in a second, yep. But here is Sonny Dykes. Brought it up here. He talked to the media about being doubted as a Big 12 team.
And let me just say this. I mean, we know we're going to hear it again. I mean, it's not going to stop now. You know what I'm saying? We're going to play again in 10 days, and we're going to hear the same crap for 10 days that we heard leading up to this ball game. And, you know, we got to do what we did this game. We got to answer that criticism and show up and do what we're supposed to do. But I mean, if we think that's going away, I think you guys all know that's not. I mean, that's just the way. That's the way it is.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't understand it. It's a dumb angle for people to bring up.
Yes,
it's a really good conference.
Yeah,
you know. So I said this before the break. The biggest winner, despite losing, Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy. I mean, I wanted because they had.
Nice outfit the gal had on.
The broadcast had like seven different camera angles on. Just I wanted the McCarthy girlfriend angle.
Yes.
Can we keep that cam up, please,
yes.
The entire time?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
I was fine with that angle, but at some point it's like, I get it. The family's at the game.
I know.
Got it, right?
I put her up in the right corner on her on her own. That's it.
It reminded me of Brent Musburger.
That's exactly what I thought.
Absolutely.
Yes.
When Brent, why did Brent catch hell for that?
It was Jen Sturger?
No, it was
Catherine Webb.
AJ McCarron's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Catherine
That's
Webb.
Right. Now, there's
can't point out the gal's attractive?
Of course.
I mean, come on.
Silly. How about the first play from scrimmage for Michigan?
Oh, you're right, though. Brent did the same thing with Jen Sturger.
Oh, it was Jen Sturger,
When Florida State with the wearing their outfits and saying, I think enrollment just went up.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. The cowgirls, they were wearing the cowboy hats and everything. Yeah, okay. No problem with that whatsoever. But Edwards rips off that long run to begin the game. You're like, okay, here we go. But then also, what about the touchdown that was, like, they didn't give him? The butt, was it down? Was he in? And then the next play, they fumble at the goal line. TCU recovers.
Yep. Now, you can't fumble at the goal line, but still, it's a horrible call. How that's not a touchdown.
I don't get it.
It's enormous.
I really don't.
And then good luck figuring out what's targeting in college football, too. What is considered targeting?
Okay.
That was a huge swing in the game.
I'm okay with them not calling targeting on TCU. First of all, a lot of things here, right? It's a fourth down. It's potentially the final play of the game. The winner goes to the national title game.
I hear you.
The kid for TCU was trying to make a play to make sure the Michigan kid either drops the ball or doesn't have the first down. You can't possibly call targeting. And you're right, they have to go back and tinker with the rule book, I think, with what targeting also means. But then did you think it was targeting on Harrison? I thought that kid for Georgia was trying to make a play on the ball. It was a heavy hit. And then people thought that Harrison stepped out of bounds. I went back and listened to the call, and that it was going to be illegal touching, and it wasn't. They were actually went back and looking. I didn't have a problem with that either.
I thought it should have been a penalty, but not ejected.
Okay. Yeah, that's
I would have cut it in half.
And that's where they have to go back and screw with the fine print.
Yep.
Because not every targeting says the kid should be kicked out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
You have to think about it again. Use some common sense. These kids are in the Final Four playing to win a championship. You think they did it on purpose? You're saying by the letter of the law,
right.
He needs to be ejected because it was a purposeful hit. Well, that's nonsense. What kid in their right mind is going to do that and go in with like the spear of their helmet and try to knock a kid silly? That's not going to happen. It's a bang-bang play. Physics, folks. You got to take it into account.
Is TCU going to be able to move the ball on Georgia like Ohio State? And we even saw in the second half of the LSU game. I mean, what has happened to this defense?
I don't know about like Ohio State did. That's a huge ask.
Yeah.
Well, and Ohio State's loaded on offense, obviously.
Well, I mean, Drew Bennett asked us the question about can Ohio State get to 30? Can TCU get to 30? But, I mean, you also who knows how many points they score if Harrison doesn't get hurt?
I know.
I mean, they did whatever they wanted. And then Stroud just taking some unfortunate sacks.
But what
he was able to accomplish, I mean, to make a Georgia defense made him look silly. I couldn't believe it. Remember, Oregon, nothing, 3 points. They embarrassed Tennessee. Tennessee couldn't move the ball.
Yep.
That's now six quarters in a row where they've been lit up, Georgia's defense.
Yeah, very true.
So you say, well, the game was over, it was in hand. Well, still. I mean, still, LSU did what they wanted in the second half of the SEC title game.
God, how good is Harrison overall?
Oh, it's a cheat code.
He's phenomenal. This book here, Circa, and I'm guessing this is similar across the board, they got absolutely mauled on the game. They got crushed.
Well, they were coming in all over the country. Huge bets on Ohio State.
Yeah.
Money line, six figures nonstop. $300,000, $400,000 bets from 7 down to 4.5.
Now, think about that. All the way down to 4.5 on game day. And then, but here's the thing. Like the point spread, actually mattered. So everybody betting the Buckeyes, they cashed those tickets, but also people who were betting either Georgia Moneyline or certainly Georgia Moneyline parlay tickets, those were all alive and well for the entire weekend.
So it's like a Super Bowl-type game where the favorite is so short on the money line that you get a great price on Georgia Moneyline.
I text Paul Stone an hour before kickoff. I'm like, they're minus 210 on the money line? That's it's incredible. I can't believe it. And they were extremely fortunate to get by and win the game. Mm-hmm. And then the way it worked on the East Coast, that the kick was missed by Ohio State as the ball was dropping and midnight hit. How about that with the timing? And I've heard from several people who are like
of course, terrible.
Like, we got to go back. We got to watch Seacrest.
How they thought this out was just a disaster. That's not the first time it's happened, too.
No.
About the timing and going against the ball drop on the East Coast. Yeah. Lunacy.
What a weekend to recap. Sports betting wise, Paulie has all the details coming up in Win Some, Lose Some. The upsets, the bad beats. Next, Follow the Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Money. That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard on VSiN.
Football season GM Shuffle podcast, a must listen for every football fan. Hear former NFL executive Michael Lombardi go off on players, teams, coaching decisions every Monday and Thursday throughout the football season. Download and subscribe to the GM Shuffle podcast from VSiN and DraftKings today, wherever you get your podcast.
Yeah, and here we go. The great Michael Lombardi joins the program now. His show, obviously, The Lombardi Line, is on this network as well. Weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. On the weekends at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific. Michael, Happy New Year. Thanks for the time. How are you?
I'm great. Happy New Year to you both. Hope all is well.
Yeah, you bet. We've talked a lot about the scenarios in the first hour of the program today, and it's such a big game tonight. I'll tell you this. Where do you sit right now with how the Chargers are playing with Justin Herbert? As I pointed out, like if they would happen to land like in the 6, I think they'd probably be the 5, the way it shakes out. But if the loser of this game tonight is the 3, who wants to play the Chargers?
I don't think anybody does. I mean, and I've been fading them, believing that they play close games. And, like yesterday, 6.5-point favorite. I don't think it was a home field for either one. But they just dominated. I mean, their defense has really played a lot better. Now they have Bosa back. They're rushing the passer more effectively. That game, they controlled that game from start to finish. I think with the talent that they have offensively, with Allen and Williams, I mean, Williams made some incredible catches yesterday. I mean, just rare catches. And then Allen controls the middle of the field. Look, I think they're playing as well as anybody right now. They're a hot team, and defensively is really where I think they've taken their game up. And Staley's not getting in the way. He's not getting in the way and costing them games. So, yeah, I don't think anybody wants to play them at this point. Right now, as Paulie's told me before we went on air, they're 5. Four plays 5. So that's the perfect place to be because you get the AFC South, even though you have to go to Jacksonville. I think the only thing that would concern me is if the Chargers have to go and play in cold weather and see how they handle that.
How about Belichick might sneak in the playoffs after this season and what it's been like offensively?
Yeah, I think a lot of that, it's interesting how the league put Kansas City and the Raiders on Saturday afternoon in Vegas, because if Kansas City wins that, they'll go to 14-3 and they'll have home field. Then that Buffalo game will be for seeding, right? I mean, say Buffalo loses to Cincinnati, they go to 12-4 and Cincinnati would be 12-4. And then that game doesn't mean anything, right? Or say Buffalo wins and they go to 13-3 and Kansas City wins, they can't beat Kansas City for the 1 seed. And so they're locked into the 2 seed, which then means they're going to play 7, which they would repeat New England if New England beat them. So, and they know they can beat New England. So wouldn't you want New England to come in there as opposed to, what are the other options? I just hope we only get one AFC South entry. I would have a hard time thinking that Tennessee with Josh Dobbs at starting quarterback could be the 7th seed.
Bills would be the 3 in that scenario. You're right, but that's a possible too, depending on what happens tonight. So what do I do with the Eagles now? Because the Giants are probably sitting everybody, but what do I do with it? Can I play Hurts? Do I have to get him in there for at least a half? Because if I win the game with Minshew and I'm the 1, I don't have Hurts. He won't play for 5, 6 weeks.
Yeah, I think they probably have to go. I think they'd never intended to go back to Hurts. I think the plan all along was to keep him out. I know they tried to practice him, but I don't think we ever thought this scenario would happen. We always thought, at least I did, that the Giants would beat the Eagles in the last weekend to get themselves into the playoffs. I never thought the Giants would be in and the Eagles would need to win the game. And I don't think the Eagles ever thought that either, right?
Yeah.
I didn't think the Eagles felt like this game. So the line's already at 14. The Giants are going to treat this game like a I mean, you're getting Tyrod Taylor at quarterback. If you like Philly, this line could go up to 16 before the ball gets kicked in the air, because the Giants are going to play anybody. They're going to rest all their good players. They don't have a lot of good players, but they're going to rest them. This will be a Tyrod Taylor game. You won't see Barkley on the field. It'll be just run the clock, get it over, and get ready to play whoever they have to play, which is probably going to be Minnesota. And, you know, that game, they were a 5.5-point dog to Minnesota the last time they played them. And I think they walk into Minnesota with a lot of confidence thinking they can win that game.
Oh, so do I. And yeah. I don't think that point spread would be higher than 3 this time around. I don't know how you can make it much higher.
I agree.
That. Yeah, the Vikings.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so they're total frauds. What do you think about Green Bay today?
You know, I was Green Bay played, obviously, they play well. To me, this will be a fun game to watch this week because, you know, Detroit still plays well. You know, now Detroit's got to go up to Green Bay. Can they beat them? I mean, Green Bay, I'm not sold that their defense, because I think Minnesota, well, I've never seen a 12-4 team get routed like this.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen this. Like, I said on the air, there's something about the color purple. You know, TCU's fortunate. Let's face it, they're very fortunate. They deserve to be there, but you got to say they're fortunate. Mm. And the purple people eaters in Minnesota are really fortunate, right? The color purple really comes through for you. And I just think they're frauds. I mean, you watch them. You know, you don't get beat like that in any game.
No.
I don't think anybody's scared to play them. And just by saying that, they find a way to win close games, but I don't think anybody fears them. There's no doubt. I don't think anybody fears Tampa, even though Tampa won yesterday and scored 21 points in the fourth quarter. I mean, the Carolina was without corners in the game. I mean, they're playing two backup corners, and if they just stop Mike Evans from catching the 9-ball, they're going to win that game. I mean, Carolina played well. I'm not sold on Tampa either.
That's my takeaway, too. I totally agree with you. You can't let them get behind you time and time again. I don't care who's out. That's the only thing that hurts you. Who's the coach of the year now?
Well, I got to think Daboll wins it. I mean, look, the Giants are not very good. They're 9-6 and 1. I mean, they'll end up the season 9-7-1 because I don't think it'll matter. But, I mean, look, you could make the argument that Staley's team's hot. You know, he's not going to get any votes. Or you could, if Zach Taylor ends up winning out, you could make the case for Zach Taylor, too. I don't think you're going to make the case for Sirianni because of the team slip. Now, the Lane Johnson injury is more prohibitive than what we think. I mean, Minshew got sacked 6 times yesterday.
Yeah.
Now, Hurts would have gotten out of those sacks, but their offense was stalling because they couldn't block that front, especially on the right side of their line. And Lane Johnson, he's going to try to play with an abdomen. I don't know if that's going to work or not.
Great point by you. How about another guy who was recently banged up with the ribs at quarterback, Mike White? Do you look at that performance yesterday and say, well, maybe he's still hurt or he is simply just not the guy for the Jets?
I got to believe that, to me, less of Mike White entices you, more of Mike White needs you know you need a quarterback. I think, you know, to me, there's a 20-game rule with quarterbacks. You know, guys can have a good, great game, but then you've got to be able to prove it over time. And in a tough environment, I mean, they couldn't move the ball yesterday. And that's not a good defense in Seattle. I hate to break the news to Jet fans, but that's not a good defense. And to not be able to move the ball, and for all the talk about the Jets being this elite defense, they sure didn't look elite yesterday at all.
What happened? What happened to this defense down the stretch? Terrible. Couldn't stop Lawrence in the Thursday night game. And then Walker gashes him right off the bat in a huge game.
Yeah, I mean, look, to me, when you break them down, I mean, I think sometimes you feel like you get these numbers and you rack them up. I mean, Detroit moved the ball when they had to move the ball on them. I mean, Detroit moved
the ball.
That's
true.
Seattle game 3, I know they only averaged 4.9 a play. They controlled the ball for almost 34 minutes. You know, and the game's not really as close as the score because Seattle's 2-for-5 in the red zone. I mean, the Jets only made it to the red zone one time. And they couldn't make any plays. And, you know, when you go out to Seattle and you try to throw the ball 46 times with Mike White, you're destined to lose the game.
Yeah, I was surprised by how bad was Carson Wentz, though?
I mean, I think Carson Wentz, I don't know how many more chances Carson Wentz is going to get.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look, it's kind of fascinating, right, guys? I mean, you know, Ron Rivera is not going to make the playoffs again. And he's only been, when you go over his career, I mean, I know he's treated like royalty in the National Football League, but when you break down his career, he doesn't have winning seasons. He's had three winning seasons in his career as a head coach. I mean, when you break it down, he had the great season in 13. They went 12-4, lost a playoff game. 15, they're 15-1. And then 17, he's 11-5. But since then, he hasn't had an above 500 record. This will be the fifth season that he hasn't been above 500 as a head coach.
Wow. Any thoughts or any strong opinion on tonight's game? Two of the best teams in the entire league playing in Cincinnati. That point spread right around 1.5. The Bills are favored.
You know, I just think Cincinnati is playing at a high level. I think they adjust the game out in the second half. They do a great job. And if Josh Allen keeps turning this ball over and making mistakes, now he makes great plays, don't get me wrong, but this will be fun. The two quarterbacks, I just think Cincy's playing just a little bit better right now. And I think Cincy's a hot team. I take the Bengals in the point.
Yeah. Do you think Burrow can steal the MVP from Mahomes, or is it over with? I'm looking right now, Mahomes is like -$8 to win this award.
I mean, I think if he wins this game and they win out and something happens, you know, look, I think Burrow certainly has a lot of consideration. But Mahomes, yesterday, they struggled again. I mean, how good is Kansas City? Do we think they struggled to beat Houston.
Yeah.
You know, I know they covered to beat Seattle last week, which was the first time they've covered as a favorite. But, you know, there's vulnerability. I mean, look, I think the Raiders will give them a hell of a game this week. I think the Raiders proved yesterday that all this rhetoric about nobody likes the coach and all this rhetoric, everybody's unhappy in the locker room because they demoted Carr. That sure as hell didn't look like it yesterday watching that team put 500 yards on the best defense in all of football.
Think about that. With a backup quarterback, Stidham looked legit yesterday, Michael.
He did, and what it proves is it's no different than Purdy. When you get the guy to run the offense and he does what you ask him to do and he gives players a chance to make a catch, you know, the Waller throw down the seam. You know, Waller goes up and gets it. Adams, chance to make the play and doesn't throw the ball out of bounds. You got a chance. You know, Stidham was 66% completion. Carr, on the other hand, all year had been at 60. Carr threw a lot of bad balls this year.
Yep, agreed. Thanks for the spot as always. Happy New Year, and we'll be watching and listening to the show today.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
There you go.
Well done.
Lombardi Line, noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, Monday through Friday, right here on VSiN. Now, was that a one-off, though, for Stidham? Because he said Mike White, he can have glimpses of where he looks really, really good. But
I don't
think
so. Yeah. You see the weapons that they have, and that's a playoff team. And Carr killed them this year.
Don't forget this. People were tweeting this out yesterday. He was the number one quarterback recruit in his class when he came out. Like, he was ranked ahead of Joe Burrow. I mean, he has the pedigree to where people thought he could be a really good quarterback. I know it's a long time ago.
Well, quickly, too. What if Shanahan's going to run out here and get the two seed? He's got a shot, coach of the year as well.
We have opening numbers for Week 18 in the NFL up next. The look-ahead line was 1.5. It's now 13.5. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Follow the money.
follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow
the
money.
Yeah, yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber, only $79. Get access to everything we do through the Big Dance. Sign up today, you get $20 to buy VSiN hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear at the online store. You get every play by every host and every guest. Betting splits, betting reports, limited time offer. Sign up now. Access through the end of the madness, VSiN.com/subscribe.
It is such a big Monday Night Football game tonight with the Bills on the road against the Bengals. The Bills are a very short favorite here in this spot. And to discuss it now, Steve Tasker joins the program, had an illustrious career in the NFL, now co-hosts One Bills Live on WGR Sports Radio 550 weekdays from 1 to 3 Eastern Time. Steve, it's a pleasure. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, you bet. You bet. Let's begin with the Buffalo side, obviously, in this game tonight against the Bengals. I mean, when you look back at last year and say what really held the Bengals or the Bills back, it was just a miraculous game and a loss that they suffered at Kansas City. If anything is holding the Bills back this year, what do you think it is?
Probably their own health. That's been one of the things that has kind of hamstrung their ability to play their best. Micah Hyde, great safety, was out early in the season. Of course, Von Miller. On Thanksgiving, they lost him for the season. And then other guys, particularly early in the season, they had a rash of injuries that, you know, kind of held them back, I think, a little bit in the beginning. They went into a swoon midseason, lost two straight games, one to the Jets, one to the Vikings. Mm-hmm. And I think Josh Allen, during that stretch of those games, even though they still won most of their games, even in the stretch where they swooned, they turned it over, particularly in the red zone. And I think if there's one thing that has held them back, it has been, you know, the turnovers and the turnover margin that they haven't been able to win. They're still winning games, no question, six-game winning streak, but turnovers have kept games close. And if they can get rid of that, they're really, really hard to beat.
Is Poyer going to play?
This West Side? Yeah, that's a question mark. He's still questionable.
Yeah.
I would say he probably will give it a shot. I don't know. I don't think if... the way the Bills do this, their culture is that they take care of their players. And that's one of the reasons guys are signing there as free agents. The reputation the Bills have is they protect these players from themselves. A guy wants to go when he's not quite ready, they won't let him go. They hold guys out knowing that they'll be better for it in the long run. They'll come back 100% and play better in the coming weeks than they will if they drag an injury around for a month and a half. So, that's the way they do it. It wouldn't surprise me if they held him out, if indeed his injury is that bad. I don't know if it is. He's been dragging a knee around. He had his elbow hurt early in the season. I think with the playoffs, being in the playoffs and the way they're playing, I think they feel that if they're 100% physically all over the field, even without Von Miller, even without Micah Hyde, I think they believe they can go on the road and beat anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they'll take their chances against the Cincinnati offense, as good as it is, and make sure they're 100% when the playoffs roll around, rather than take a chance on getting the one seed and playing guys. They've been good enough for 3 years to win the Super Bowl, guys, and they've, you know, for running into Kansas City on the road in the playoffs has been a problem. But I think that monster has been slain. So I think they'll do what they can to make sure they're 100% in 2 weeks rather than for this next week, 17 and 18 games.
Oh, that's a great nugget. So the one overall seed doesn't necessarily mean as much to the Bills as some people might make it out. Good to know. Steve Tasker, our guest here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You know, talking about all these injuries, Tre'Davious White was banged up for a lot of the season. He recently came back. How do you see this going tonight with him matching up? Does he take on Chase? Does he match up against Chase the entire time? If not, how does this break down?
Yeah, that's interesting because this is as good, you know, you guys know Cincinnati's a boatload out at wideout. They got a ton of guys out there. T. Higgins, Chase, and Tyler Boyd, those guys are really the best trio in the NFL. And it's really crazy to think any team can go that deep into their secondary, because really you want to double team one of those guys. And if you can go by down and distance and formation and personnel, where they're lining up, you want to kind of pick the guy you think is the most likely number one receiver, kind of double him up. Oh, man, who's got four corners good enough mm-hmm. to double wheel somebody and go three and go man to man on the other two guys that you're not doubling. So I think this is a night where the Bills will zone it off. They'll use their linebackers, Milano and Tremaine Edmonds, to try and clog up some passing lanes. I think the key really for this game defensively for Buffalo is how fast and how few people it takes to put pressure on Joe Burrow. If they can get quick pressure with as few guys as possible, four or three, they're going to have a chance. But if it starts taking five guys, six guys, and they get spread thinner and thinner in the secondary, that plays into Cincinnati's hands. So it'll be up to the front four of Buffalo to really take the pressure off their secondary. In past years, it's been just the opposite of that. The secondary has covered for those guys up front. But this year, it has been different. The front four has really played much, much better, and that's been the key.
How do you feel about Josh's game right now? And if the turnover bug has gone away, and also the stretch where he's been running into bad weather games as well, and maybe they found something there with the rushing attack against Chicago.
Yeah, that's the thing. And a lot of people complain or whatever. You know, they kind of discount Buffalo's rushing attack because Josh Allen is a part of it. You can do that if you want when we're sitting here on the radio talking about it. But, man, when you're on the field, you got to defend it. It's a problem. The Bills run the ball better than Cincinnati. Devin Singletary has had a better statistical year than Joe Mixon. They're a load up front. They run the ball really well. And Josh Allen, if the Bills don't turn the football over, you can't beat them. They're just too good. Josh throws it too well. He forces the defense to cover every inch of the field all the time, and that's just too much to ask of those guys. He throws it too well. Diggs is too good. Gabe Davis, Isaiah McKenzie. Now they got Cole Beasley back in the mix, and they've started to get real mileage out of James Cook and Devin Singletary. Josh Allen and this offense, along with the defense that they have, man, oh, man, they're a load. So, Allen, you're right. There's a time when he starts, thinking outside the box and trying to do some things he doesn't need to do. He loves to show his arm off, and it gets him into trouble sometimes. We'll see what happens when these games get big, whether he can sit back and let his teammates help him. But I think that's the key. If Josh Allen takes a deep breath, takes what the defense gives him, this Bills team is an absolute wrecking crew.
Yep. Don't disagree at all. Does Diggs snap out of kind of a mini funk that he's in? I mean, based on who he is and how he produces basically every single week. Steve, his last three games, 37 yards, 60, and 26. And Gabe Davis is, you don't know what you're going to get from him every game, too. So does Diggs actually snap out of it tonight, you think?
Yeah, I think he's got a chance to do that. I think they'll make a concerted effort to get him involved. And it's when he's involved, he really elevates the rest of the receiving core, because when he draws some attention, Gabe Davis is better, Isaiah McKenzie is better, even Khalil Shakir, the rookie, is better. So their receiving core, I think, because of the problems Josh has had turning it over, I think that people have kind of, the shine has come off their receiving core. I don't think they're untalented or anything like that. I think it is a function of Josh more from the pocket running the football. He loves to make plays off the page, but I think you can count on them making a concerted effort to get Diggs involved tonight. They know they need to run. They need to run the passing game through him first and foremost. And if they can focus on him, everything else will come into play later.
Hey, Steve, we have about a minute left here. You don't have a vote, but if you did, you probably know Brian Daboll very well from his time there in Buffalo. Now the first year coach with the Giants. If you had a vote for coach of the year, would Daboll get your vote, or would it be somebody else?
I think so. I know him. He's a friend of mine. So, yeah, Dave should get my vote. They are the, I think, most overachieving team in the league this year from start to finish. Certainly, they got off to a fast start. Nobody expected that. But being able to hang on and squeeze out the wins that they have this season in that division, you got to tip your hat to Brian Daboll and the Giants. They have really played well. They've won games exactly the way they have had to run games. And he has helped Daniel Jones really become a quarterback that the Giants can win with. A lot of people had their doubts when Brian Daboll, and that doesn't even mean that Daniel Jones will be there next year. I mean, they may get somebody, but man, oh man, he gets the most out of the quarterback, and you got to tip your hat to him. So yes, I would agree. I think Brian Daboll deserves strong consideration for Coach of the Year, and if I had a vote, he's my guy.
You can follow Steve on Twitter. He is at SteveTasker89, co-host of One Bills Live, WGR Sports Radio 550 weekdays, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern time. Steve, thanks so much for the time today. Happy New Year.
Guys, I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Be good.
Great job.
You know what? We're going to look back at the Daboll thing and say it was Tom Thibodeau all over again. How do we not recognize it?
Yeah, could be. Interesting answers there.
Oh, very much so.
Also, to me, he's saying they're going to sit guys, too, if they lose tonight. It's not that. And remember we talked about this? When I watched the game against the Jets at home, I'm thinking, do they even want the one seed? Because they're an indoor, this isn't a typical Buffalo team.
Right.
They're high-octane, throw, and they play like a dome team.
Right.
Can the one seed work against them where their own weather in their own city, you walk in, you got a blizzard or you have a howling wind, and it neutralizes the great passing attack they have. And certainly they can. They can beat their chest and say, we can go anywhere and win. Because they've gone to Kansas City the last 2 years and done it, and they should have beat them last year in the playoffs.
I can't disagree with what you're saying. I mean, it really makes a lot of sense. If they have piss-poor weather up there in a game and Allen is just taken out of it because the wind is swirling and he can't throw the ball.
But it's also... Sure. But we saw how bad it was the last week and 2 weeks ago, and now Steve said he can see his grass now.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works.
He's mowing the yard in January. Oh, God.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Winter sports in full swing. Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook, your home, all the latest lines, odds, and boosts. Whether you're a football, hockey, or basketball fan, Bet Rivers has you covered. Tuesday hockey first goal insurance, Sunday football parlay insurance, great house specials at Bet Rivers. It's a whole new game. God, this is so enormous tonight. I mean, again, to think with a week left in the season, Cincinnati could be the 1, 2, 3, 5, or 6.
Yeah.
We could get round three in a rematch of Cincinnati, Baltimore. That's in play. But if you're the 2, you might get the Steelers or the Patriots. If you're the 3, you might get Lamar Jackson coming back. God knows, you might play the Chargers. You never know how that's going to break as well. But so much on the line here with this game and who gets the 2 seed. And yes, Buffalo can still get the 1 if they win out. Kansas City can get the 1. Cincinnati can get the 1. Cincinnati could drop all the way. Cincinnati could blow the division. You never know. Stranger things have happened, too, even though they're $7 right
now. Actually, I like your angle. If the Bengals lose this game tonight, I think then you have to go Cincinnati and Baltimore Sunday Night Football next week. I think that has to be the play. Again, to go back to what we were talking about with the Packers and Lions, if the Seahawks win that game, Lions are eliminated. Yeah. Well, what's the point of having that on Sunday night then? That's no good.
Yeah.
Here's Dan Campbell. And I know we're going to find out more from him today. Like, they'll probably ask him about that scenario. But here he is on taking on the Packers Sunday with the playoffs potentially on the line.
I think it means everything. I think it's just so special. It's as good as it can get. I mean, seriously, you get to go to Lambeau, historic Lambeau, where the tops in this division has been Green Bay every year for years. And to go earn your right, you know. To potentially get in. Even if you do get that win, doesn't mean you're guaranteed to get in. I know this, we're guaranteed to get one more week. And so I just think this is as special as it gets. I mean, I just don't think you'd want it any other way.
My buddy and I were talking about this last night. We never looked it up. We were just guessing. The last time this division had 2 playoff teams and Green Bay wasn't one of them. He was guessing late 70s. I said probably early to mid 80s.
Oh, and?
We never. I'm gonna look. I don't know. We haven't looked at. We were just going back and forth on text. So like, honestly, he's like gut reaction. I'm like, oh my God, I got to go all the way back to the 80s probably.
Yeah, you were terrible in the early 80s. Randy Wright and those guys. Murkowski before Magic Man.
Awful. They were awful. So then.
Oh wow, that's a good one.
So when like the Bears were really good.
Early 80s.
Were the Vikings were good.
Vikings
were good in the early 80s. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Because you had Peyton and the great Bears teams as well. I don't think he'll still sell the right thing. Let's have a winning season. Let's knock them out.
Yeah.
That means a lot to the organization and the Lions to ruin Green Bay's season and also win the game. This is assuming they put it Sunday night and Seattle beats the Rams.
But, right.
I tell you, when you get in a scenario like this, though, you're racking your brain about all the close calls coming back to bite the Lions now. Losing the game against Buffalo, all the close losses early on, even the Steelers. Great story, right? Turning it around, almost in the playoff mix.
Yeah.
Blowing a 10-point lead at home to Zach Wilson. All this stuff sticks out and looms large now if you're going to miss the playoffs by one game.
Yeah, I think you can say the same thing about the Packers. They blew the game against the Giants over in London.
Sure.
Total collapse job. They were probably outplayed against Washington. They were not great there. They totally blew the first game against Detroit when Rodgers had three, red zone INTs?
Yeah. Lions also blew the first meeting against Minnesota.
That they did.
Campbell trying a long field goal, 54 yards. That was a bad move.
Here's Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, why he still believed when they were 4-8 5 weeks ago, they still had a shot at the playoffs.
I still believe in myself and felt like it just takes one sometimes. Strange, but when we were sitting at 3-6 and we looked at the next three, at the time, Tennessee was playing really well. Obviously, Cowboys playing well, and Philly was number one in the league. And I just felt like if we get one of those, we can win the last five. And 9-8 was going to get in.
Dangerous if they get in?
Not if it's San Francisco, no.
Yeah.
That is not going to go well. If they, there's just a horrible matchup for them it's San Francisco. Yep. They're a physical team.
Yeah, that I don't think
and Green
that that's...
Bay, Green Bay can't stop the run. And what are they really? I mean, okay, congratulations. You've won four in a row, and they were phenomenal yesterday. Total domination. But Tua gets concussed. Mostert with the huge fumble. They looked like you're going to get ready to get run out in that game on Christmas. You beat Baker Mayfield at home Monday night, and they didn't play well and came back to beat Chicago. So it hasn't been exactly the 85 Bears they've knocked off during this stretch.
Let me throw this at you, and I can't believe I'm going to bring this up because we love George Kittle. Is Brock Purdy forcing the ball to George Kittle too much now?
You're seeing that? That's what you think?
Oh, man.
Too much of it?
I honestly thought, dude, you might want to look at somebody else or not throw it. Like, in the windows he was trying to get it to Kittle yesterday, I thought that's maybe a tad much.
Oh, it's fascinating. The playoffs are going to be fascinating. Right. Can you keep this up and win every game with Mr. Irrelevant?
Mm-hmm.
And he has made mistakes, but they've dropped these interceptions. It happened in the Thursday night game against Seattle. There was a couple. So he's going to make mistakes, but then again... maybe Shanahan's too good and the talent supporting cast is too good that they take it to the Super Bowl. And what a story it would be. Can he win Rookie of the Year? Shanahan Coach of the Year. These awards are wild now what's happened here.
And we don't really see anything for awards as of right now. They're taking their time. I don't blame them today to post them. I'm sure they're going to come out and populate the board here in a couple of hours. The only award that we see is MVP, and Mahomes is a gigantic favorite. But I can't wait. What do you do with Comeback Player of the Year? What do you do with Coach of the Year? Who's going to win like Offensive Rookie of the Year?
I have no idea. Walker had a big game, but if Purdy goes 7-0 and he gets you the 2 seed, it's still a chance at the 1. But
if Brock Purdy wins Offensive Rookie of the Year, I'm going to have to take a couple of sick days.
Yeah.
That will be a very ugly result for me.
Coach of the Year, I think Shanahan's right in the mix. I know that people are working overtime with Daboll. It's a tough call with some of these. Because with the Purdy, it's like Wilson really didn't have great numbers. He's good, but I know he had to work with Zach Wilson for much of the year.
Yeah.
And then Walker missed time and he was great yesterday. So it's a difficult, the scenarios here again, but I like this one. The scenario where the Titans and Jags both can get in. Titans beat the Jags, Bills beat the Patriots, Jets beat the Dolphins, Steelers lose. Titans would win the division, Jags would get the last wild card. How kooky is that? Well, I mean, everything's in play here.
Yeah, Jacksonville to make the playoffs. It's basically a money line bet on the game this week, but also they can still get in, like you just said. They're minus 330 to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
To get the 1 seed right now at DraftKings, the overall number 1 seed in the AFC, the Chiefs are minus 105. The Bills are plus 110. The Bengals are 10-1.
10-1.
Yeah. Well, that's a correlated parlay there too. They need to win out, and the Chiefs would have to lose against the Raiders.
Yeah. I mean, they're laying 7 next week.
And I'll give you this in the NFC. Yeah. The Eagles are minus $12. The Niners are 7-1, and the Cowboys are 60-1. If you do a correlated parlay right now, a money line parlay, betting against the Eagles and the 49ers this week for them to both lose, that pays about 41-1. Cowboys would obviously still have to win, but 60-1 is actually better than what you're going to get on that two-team parlay.
Anything else surprise you? I can't believe Miami is plus 105 to make the playoffs.
Yeah, explain that.
Yeah, they need to beat the Jets, which is going to be tough with a third-string quarterback, and then they need help. So I can't believe that's plus 105.
Mm-hmm.
And as we sit here right now, we don't know who they're going to play, what the Jets will do at quarterback. And this is with only a week left. The Giants are locked into the sixth seed. That's all we know. That's all we know. And how enormous, just they're waiting for this game tonight to determine the schedule and what they do on Sunday. Fitz checking in 2000 before realignment. Vikings won the Central. Tampa Bay got a wild card. Sean King, Green Bay 9-7, Detroit 9-7.
Oh, Ravens. That's when Tampa Bay was still in the division.
Yeah, Ravens won the Super Bowl over the Giants. All right, thanks.
Yeah, also 1991, Detroit and Chicago both made it. That would have been when one of those Barry Sanders years when they were actually pretty decent. By the way, it's not just the Bengals where they can land at the 1, 2, 3, 5, or 6. I mean, it's like a ton of these teams all over the map.
Yeah, Bills. Yeah, Bills.
Imagine betting on seeds right now.
Oh, God.
Can you put up markets on that?
Are you picking up what I'm putting down? You got to take the plus 280 on New England right now. I mean, it's correlated. I mean, if you think Cincinnati wins tonight, and we're just talking to Tasker and what Lombardi said earlier, that the Bills would sit people then at home and open the door for the Patriots.
I mean, if what he said 30 minutes ago comes to fruition, and it was a very good breakdown. The culture there in Buffalo, they take care of their players. Yep. Everybody knows about it. Free agents, they love hearing about that.
My question was about Poyer. If he's playing. They're 11-0 when he plays.
Right, right.
And they might say, just get ready for the playoffs. Don't risk it tonight.
And when he said that they know they can go on the road and win anywhere, the one seed, is it kind of just irrelevant then? They don't really...
This is a big difference, though. It's a huge difference. Huge. Just the 2 and the 3.
Oh, the 2 and the 3 is night and day. Massive.
If I'm the 2, I get you at home in a rematch, and I might get the awful Patriots offense or the Steelers, and you might have to play Herbert or Lamar Jackson.
Or Lamar Jackson. Yeah, you could be staring at the Chargers or the Ravens. Meanwhile, I get the also-rans of the league.
And upsets happen, so you never know. But this is wild. This is so much on the line here.
We will recap our plays from the weekend and tell you what we're betting here early. Coming up next on Follow the Money, it's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.